Want to enjoy 18 holes but can't get to the course? For the ultimate at-home golf experience, join Amstel Light at CD Bolingbrook at 344 Commons Drive this Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. or Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. at Stadium Liquors in Burbank, where you can enter for a chance to win a Golden Tee Go Home Edition. Visit your local United Liquor Mart for complete rules and details.
Please enjoy Amstel Light responsibly. 2020 Amstel Light Lager Beer, imported by Amstel USA, White Plains, New York.
Pants on.
Kind of want
to. If you're already going to pull the jacket off of the hanger, why not just put the suit pants on?
For those asking, yes, I am currently wearing pants, so I am. But I just trust me. I know my people. And I don't care if you're, you know, whether you're 8 years old in your first suit or whether you're Sheldon Adelson or whoever you are. There's just, the rule is, if you don't have to wear pants, don't wear pants. So just think that as this is going on tonight. If you feel a disturbance in the force, that's what's going on.
Well, I've been dealing with this a little bit when I was still doing television. Like, I was like, okay, if I'm going to get a button shirt and a jacket, and I like my suit jackets, then why wouldn't I just put the pants on? Now, the shoes, that's another issue.
Yeah, if you really want to start with television, like news desks, if you really want the truth there, there's a whole lot of athletic shorts and sweatpants.
But that stopped, though. That stopped. You're right. That was a routine thing where, you know, Mark Giangreco or whomever is just wearing shorts and a suit top, but during my run on TV, I noticed that people were pretty good about wearing a full suit while they're there. But yes, there are still places where you look behind a desk and someone's got on some Nike shorts and a suit.
I love when they pull the curtain back, and we've seen the mistakes that have been shown when somebody doesn't realize the angle of their own camera. And I'm always thinking about it too, because I forget half the time that the Twitch camera is on. Wait, am I picking my nose or something, or, you know, am I scratching my face? But the fails in this era have been awesome.
Well, that's why I'm concerned about tonight. I'm concerned that people are gonna do this. They're not gonna have their angles right, and then you're gonna see stuff that you don't want to see ever.
So yeah, but White Sox. I told you I'm in the group chat with my childhood friends, the White Sox fans, and everybody's 8 years old again. Everybody's just going crazy with some of this stuff. And we got a call earlier in the show. A caller, Bill, said that part of all this is not only it's the joy coming from the players themselves, and it's the broadcast. It's not even people who would regularly go to games are relying much more on Jason Benetti and Steve Stone, and the way they've been enjoying it has been so infectious.
It has been, and there's been a change even in Stoney, where, and I think that Jason's done a great job of bringing the joy out of him on the broadcast, and they're having a lot of fun. But you're getting all this analysis, and you've seen Steve like lean into the fun. And that's great. Like to see him at this point in his career have something to really get excited about, and he loves watching and commenting on these young players. It's fun for everyone around. And I mean, they know how to do the serious, like they know how to do a game broadcast, but Jason is his personality allows for more of that to happen, and I dig it. Like it becomes like you find yourself, you know, in your mind going wah 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 when they tell a corny joke, but you still kind of like it. That it, all of it, all of this is a likable bunch. The joy that you see on Aloy's face, the yep. joy that you see when Tim Anderson, and even like yesterday seeing Jose Abreu beat out an infield single. Like, come on. And I guess it was the second fastest that he's ever run to first in his career.
As in the StatCast era. Yes, correct. Yes. It is the second fastest he has ever been measured covering that distance, running anywhere for anything. And it's amazing. And everybody watching, as we were talking about this with the morning guys, when you see it and then the director cuts, and then you're waiting for the cut back to the next camera, and he's just in a place you don't expect him to be. It's sort of like what we were saying before on the extreme end regarding Luis Robert, where it was like the Bo Jackson kind of thing, where you're like, oh my God, he's where already? Because you have an internal practiced expectation of where he's going to be on the screen, and then he's just not there. It's like, what did you do? What happened? Like a glitch in the Matrix.
I'm sure Polanco felt the same way because he kind of rounded the ball instead of coming right at it. And then you look up and it wasn't close. Like it wasn't a bang, bang play. Jose was safe by two steps. So I love like that was like my favorite thing. And there's a lot of joy with Aloy in the post game. So we are going to, we're going to blow it out here for the next 35 minutes. Dan, have a wonderful new year and enjoy yourself and have a great weekend.
We'll talk on Monday.
Yes, we will. That is Dan Bernstein. He's on from 9 a.m. until noon. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm on from noon to 2. We are about to blow this thing out and talk some White Sox. This hour is being brought to you by the Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
I'd love to know what you thought of how Mitchell Trubisky played last week.
I thought fourth quarter, everything you would expect. Sometimes the numbers don't lie. You know, Lawrence, you know how it goes. Sometimes you look at some numbers and, you know, in baseball, a guy had a 3-for-4 day, and then you find out that he had a broken bat single, right? You know, a Texas leaguer fell in for him. He ended up a big, big swing, and he ended up in front of the plate, turned to a bunt, and got on base. But 3-for-4 is 3-for-4, right? In this situation, what he did in the fourth quarter, the throws he made, they weren't just touchdown throws. They were in the right spot on time. Nice synchronicity with his receivers. Everything was terrific, which always leads to the next question. If you're doing that now, what happened to the first three quarters?
Make me a bicycle, clown!
That was our buddy Charles Davis talking about the Bears and the Giants. It is a Bears Friday, but we are obsessed with Soxtober. Well, don't worry, we're going to talk about both and the Cubs starting what's an important series for them and the White Sox, or the White Sox starting an important series for them and the Cubs. As I said, it's the scene from Predator. That's what's happening here between the two teams. So we are going to do some Bear stuff with JJ Stankovic at 1240. He's going to join me for his regular hit. Joe Ostrowski is going to join me at 1 o'clock. I want to get his thoughts on Sox postseason bets. And on the Twitch stream right now, I'm wearing my Sox cap. You know what I feel like, Herbie? I don't feel like rock roll. I feel like Snoop Dogg at the 95 Source Awards. Because if you're watching on the Twitch stream, you can see that I've got the Cubs radio background. Because we're the home of the Cubs here on The Score, right? I got the Cubs radio background, but I'm wearing a White Sox 2020 postseason cap. Straight from the clubhouse yesterday. The Cap Fairy dropped by the house yesterday with a whole new collection of stuff because there's going to be more games now that they've clinched and they're in the playoffs. So I feel like me and you are like Snoop and Shug at the 95 Source Awards. East Coast don't love us. Y'all don't love us. I like this. I like where things are at. This is fun. I was talking with someone pretty high up in the White Sox organization about the idea and the concept of celebration. And I know that a lot of times in sports, it feels like, well, have they done anything? And you don't want to celebrate until you get to the end of it, which I've never quite understood because it feels like that delayed gratification and that gratification that never happens doesn't seem like it's a lot of fun. I feel like this year in particular, this is the year where wherever there is joy, you run to it. Wherever there is something to celebrate, celebrate all the steps, man. Celebrate them all. And when we go back to the beginning of this, when we go back to the beginning of this season and looking at the White Sox, and I remember before spring training closed down, I told Herbie. Herbie and I were talking while I was in the hotel room. And I told him, I was like, it's different in that White Sox clubhouse this year. Like, it's just different. And I had this long conversation with Tim Anderson. And his confidence, you could feel it. You could feel his confidence. And I haven't felt that in a spring training Camelback Ranch visit in a really long time. And then you wonder, can they live up to what their hopes and their dreams are? I want to take you back real quick, and I promise you, we are going to celebrate. So if you want to jump in with text messages, and even if you want to jump in with phone calls about the Sox clinching a playoff spot, 312-644-6767 is the number. And the Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time and shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Before the season started, we had Rick Hahn on the show, and we were talking about the expansion of postseason and where the White Sox are and if it was okay to start thinking about them as a playoff team.
Selfishly, I'm a big fan of it. First of all, in 2020, why not? Let's try some different things. You know, people obviously are going to have different opinions about the 10th inning rule and the expanded playoffs and the designated hitter in the National League, and that may go against some traditionalist sensibilities. But if ever there was a time to try something different, it's the 2020 season. For me personally, or from a selfish standpoint, I love the idea that the chances for us to get some October experience have improved. Now, the goal remains the same as it was when we woke up yesterday, and that's to win the division and lock in that spot. But if we do wind up with one of the expanded spots, that's going to serve us well for the long term. You know, again, we're teaching this team how to win, and it was never just about one season. So if we get experience in 2020 that's going to help us in 21 and beyond, fantastic.
But now you get to raise expectation. The magic number for the White Sox to clinch the division is 6. That's where things stand now. That's why I've been saying for the last week that the Cubs can help the White Sox and that the White Sox can help the Cubs because the Cincinnati Reds are kind of surging. I don't think that they have what it takes to catch the Cubs, but the White Sox can help bury them and vice versa.
Dylan, you son of a bitch.
Just make it easy on yourself for next weekend, and then we can all settle up in late October. That's the way that I'm looking at this. It's wonderful to see some of the things that we were all hoping would happen. And in some cases, it happened immediately and has gone the other way. Like Luis Robert has had a really rough time in September. We saw Lucas Giolito have a rough start to begin the season, and then he got back to who he was. The White Sox have already given us some really great moments inside this season. You've got at least two guys that are in the MVP conversation, and I will tell you, if you look at Aloy's numbers, he is back in that conversation. He won't win it, and I don't know if he finishes ahead of Abreu and Tim, but Aloy has been money for them. Do you know he's hitting .301 right now? He's a .917 OPS player. And if you look over his last 30 games, this is Aloy's slash. .331, .378, .619, which makes him a .997 OPS with 8 home runs and 25 RBIs. And he was the difference yesterday. He comes through yesterday. You can celebrate all the steps, all of them. You can celebrate them now going beyond your original expectation. And maybe they even reach the expectation that we amended to, where it's like, oh, well, wait, now they can win the division. They can win the American League Central. It's right in front of them for them to do that. I feel that that's important. Getting into the playoffs this year is great. And you heard Rick talking about, you know, maybe we get into one of those expanded spots. And that was at the beginning of the season. If you win the division, even though it's a 60-game sample, that feels big. That feels like a step. The White Sox have clearly taken a step by getting themselves into the playoffs. But now you have the added bonus experience of Cleveland and Minnesota are trying to chase you down. You got 10 games left. What do you do with those 10 games? How do you play? How do you play after you clinch a spot in the playoffs? Something that everyone in that organization was looking forward to. I want to give you a little bit of a taste of what the post game was like yesterday. There was some good stuff with Ricky Renteria, and Ricky doesn't talk a lot. Like, he talks every day, but he's a manager speak type guy for the most part. But I enjoyed him talking about kind of where this team came from, like an organizational breakdown of it, and what it was like to manage inside 2020.
I'm sure for every manager, it's been the same. You know, we have the same situation with clubs working off-site, dealing with all the protocol that's in place. I think that everybody's done as good a job as they possibly can to continue to do what we can to keep moving forward and playing. It is unique. I hope that this is not something that continues. I hope it is something where we finally get some healing and some time where this thing starts to, you know, kind of settle down and we're able to play in under normal circumstances. But that being said, the challenge would be simply, you know, not being able to embrace the fans in a moment like this, which is probably pivotal and really, really important, because they are the reason why any team exists. The fan base is the most important part of an organization's existence. Everybody understands that. I think everybody knows it, both through the pros and the cons, through the love and through the hate and all that good stuff. I mean, it's just a part of it, because you want your club to do well. And this is for them too. I hope they're enjoying it. I hope they're enjoying it more than us, because we know they've been going through a tough time over not only now, but over the last few years. And the organization has tried to put its best foot forward and tried to follow through with what they've committed themselves to doing. And I hope this is maybe a sign that it's real, that it's been truthful.
A lot of organizations have tried this and never been successful, but I know, as you mentioned, this is step one of a long road. But do you take any pride in knowing that you guys committed to doing it the right way, your way, and now here you are at a postseason berth, and then the last 3 days you throw Dunning, Giolito, and Ronaldo, you know, three guys that you acquired in one of the first trades to kind of kickstart this whole thing?
Yeah, I think it's ironic, you know, or poetic, whatever you want to use, that some of the young men that were acquired in the action that was taken a few years back, and you know, through it all, trust me personally, I know how hard it is for people from the outside to look in toward us and see all the steps that are being taken and feel at times like you're spinning your wheels, or maybe you're not moving forward as fast as you would like, in terms of how we continue to develop as an organization and as a team. We as coaches, trust me, feel the same pain that everyone else feels when we're trying to grind through and work and help develop these young men. But I will repeat this, and it bears being said, you have to give the players the credit, because if they don't buy in and if they don't commit, you're not here. We're not here sitting and talking about it. They have committed. They've given you everything they have, and continue to give you everything they have. And there are players in there now that maybe 3 or 4 years ago everybody was going, well, I don't know what's going to happen, and now you're actually. Now there's some validation or some affirmation in some of the players that we've talked about over the last few years. And maybe there's a little more trust and understanding as to how we see players and what we believe they can become. But I get it. I think it's a process. And we've been very fortunate in the support that we've gotten. And we will continue to move forward. But to the fans, I hope they're really, really happy right now to see the steps that the organization has taken. They should be happy. We've talked about that. We've talked about winning since day one.
Keep going is the quote that Tim Anderson uses a lot on social media. That's like kind of his mantra, like keep going, keep going. And there's an opportunity to keep going. But I think that it's important for every White Sox fan to stand in this moment for a little bit. You can look forward to the opportunity for the team to clinch. You can look forward to the playoffs. God knows I am. But it's okay to stand in this moment and be like, wow, this is pretty great. It's okay to celebrate what it is that they've already accomplished. And you can just sit there in it and be like, I knew they could at least do this. When the rebuild happened, and you heard Ricky talking about it there, I think that White Sox fans, for the most part, understood it. and they got it, it's nice to be rewarded with for faith. It's nice to be rewarded when you see something being built up and you go, okay.